Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 746, Greek Tragedy, being recorded on June 19th of the year 2011. Happy Father's Day to people out there. Also, happy Juneteenth to people out there. Let me stress at the beginning of this broadcast that, again, using the website, using the SpitfireList.com website, will not only enhance your understanding of these broadcasts, but at this point I think is all but essential to a complete understanding of the program. One of the many things offered on that website is the very important GermanForeignPolicy.com newsletter. It is fed along the bottom of the front page of the website, along with Global Muslim Brotherhood Daily Report and Lucy Commissar's remarkable work on offshore. And we are going to be relying on GermanForeignPolicy.com for a nice chunk of the program today. This broadcast, as indicated by the title, is going to be dealing with the Greek economic crisis. And we're going to be basically taking a look at what has taken place, what isn't taking place, what people are talking about doing, what shouldn't be done. And the purpose of this is not only to understand Greece and the European Economic Union, but a lot of people, in particular the GOP writer, saying that if we don't have massive slashing of this, that, and the other thing, then we're going to wind up like Greece. And in fact, Greece is a very, very different state of affairs than the United States. Also, although we probably won't have time to discuss it in detail in this program, Wolfgang Schäuble has intimated that the United States needs to change its economic policies in order to basically avoid becoming a moribund economy like Greece. And in fact, there do have to be some changes to the U.S. economy. But what he's talking about is something that would not benefit the United States, but would benefit Germany. Perhaps we'll have time for that in this broadcast, perhaps not. We are going to be dealing at some point in the not-too-distant future with PIMCO. That is the largest bond trader in the world. It's also a wholly owned subsidiary of Allianz, the German insurance company that, among other things, is the defendant in a number of lawsuits, or has been the defendant in a number of lawsuits relating to their behavior during World War II, when they were complicit with the appropriation or, quote, Aryanization of the property of Jews and others who were liquidated in the Holocaust and during the Third Reich's depredations. We're going to plunge right in, and again, the reason we're going into the Greek tragedy is because we are being told that the same thing is going to happen to the U.S., and in particular, the GOP right, which is pretty much redundant these days, is threatening, well, if we, they're not going to raise the debt debt ceiling unless this, that, and the other thing happens. That will destroy not only the U.S., but the global economy, and Well, it's something that the GOP right might just do if Obama doesn't kowtow to them, as he generally has been in the past, and as I expect him to do in the not-too-distant future. But we're going to take a look at the Greek tragedy, because the Greek tragedy may become an American tragedy down the line. We're going to begin by taking a look at the GermanForeignPolicy.com issue of 323, March 23rd of 2011. This is titled, From the Crisis into the Crisis. It's datelined Athens and Berlin. And one of the things to note here is that one of the things that is ailing Greece is what is known to economists as a deflationary spiral. That is also what the U.S. may very well be experiencing. Time permitting, we'll get into that later. But I also want to note that not only has Germany been the greatest beneficiary of the Greek economic malaise, but also if Greece should default on its bonds, if Greek debt is subject to default, German and French banks are those who are most exposed. It will ultimately wind up causing chaos around the world, including in the United States. But first, let's take a look at what is going on in Greece and what is not going on in Greece. From March 23rd of 2011, the GermanForeignPolicy.com newsletter, From the Crisis into the Crisis. In the run-up to decisions to be taken at the EU summit to begin tomorrow in Brussels, Greek economic development shows the euro crisis management in a miserable light. Athens which since last year has been strictly applying the austerity programs being demanded mainly by Berlin, has been regularly confronted with popular protests. Journalists and employees of the local public transportation system in Athens went on strike just last week. The cuts in wages and public spending are driving the country ever deeper into the recession. Just taking the period from the first to the third quarter of 2010, the period from the beginning of EU crisis intervention to its first effects, the rate of shrinkage of the Greek national economy increased from 0.7 to 5.7%. Simultaneously, unemployment increased significantly. There is a disastrous development of the national debt. Because of its enormous proportions, about 125% of the gross domestic product, Berlin and Brussels have imposed austerity measures. The crisis measures modeled on Germany are forcing up the national debt to nearly 150% of the gross domestic product. How this is supposed to stabilize Greece and the euro is a mystery. The Greek crisis was most recently on the agenda of the March 10th EU summit. At that meeting, Greece was able to extract a relaxation of the conditions for the emergency credit needed to avoid national bankruptcy in 2010. The crisis credit provided Athens by the EU and the IMF amounted to 110 billion euros. Brussels prolonged the period of repayment from 3 to 7.5 years. Athens, in addition, was able to negotiate a reduction of 1% in the interest rate, down to 5%. Thanks to these more advantageous conditions, Greece will be able to save 6 billion euros, declared Greece's Prime Minister, Georges Papandreou. As always, Brussels' concessions came with strings attached. Athens had to obligate itself to impose even more austerity measures and extensive privatizations, demands raised repeatedly, especially by Berlin. On the eve of the Brussels summit, Chancellor Angela Merkel laid out to the Europe Committee of the German Bundestag under which conditions Berlin would be in agreement to grant German support, unquote, to Greece. Athens would have to sell public property and undertake extensive privatizations if it is to be granted a lower interest rate for its EU credit. The privatization program being demanded by Berlin and Brussels is supposed to bring Athens' national budget 50 billion euros by 2015. I'm going to interrupt the discussion at this point. One of the things to be noted is that the privatization program will benefit German corporations largely. The Deutsche Telekom, the German telecommunications company, controlled effectively by the German government, also, by the way, at least for the time being, the parent company of T-Mobile right here in the U.S., the German Deutsche Telekom already owns a controlling interest, a very large interest anyway, in the Greek telephone company. So if Greece has to sell off private assets to their public assets to become private, one of the major beneficiaries figures to be German corporations. Germany is also the major beneficiary of Greece's entry into the European Monetary Union. Although it initially benefited Greece, Greece used to have a trade surplus vis-a-vis Germany. That was promptly reversed. So note that the main beneficiary of Greece's problems is, surprise, surprise, Germany. Basically, whereas the trade surplus from Greece to Germany had been a surplus, it is now a deficit. And indeed, German corporations have benefited handsomely from exporting to Greece. But note again that one of the major beneficiaries of the privatization figures to be German corporations, Deutsche Telekom, already a major player in the Greek telephone company. Continuing with from the crisis into the crisis, speaking of Angela Merkel, the Chancellor defended these concessions in the Boulevard Press with the argument that it is necessary to insist on rapid repayment. Quote, if we had insisted, it would only have led to new turbulence, unquote. Numerous hardliners in Berlin have criticized this concession sharply. Volker Wissing, for example, the FDP's finance political spokesman, announced resistance to the extension of the repayment period. Quote, again, buying time without a perspective of a solution does not instill confidence, said Wissing. At the same time, Greece is developing into the classic example of a country that is being driven into a renewed debt crisis through its repeated austerity programs, dismantlement of social welfare measures, and cutbacks in government spending. This is important. I'm going to reread this last sentence. This basically is what they're talking about when they talk about a deflationary spiral. At the same time, Greece is developing into the classic example of a country that is being driven into a renewed debt crisis through its repeated austerity programs, dismantlement of social welfare measures, and cutbacks in government spending. The cutbacks, forced on the Greek population by Brussels and Berlin, have done absolutely nothing to consolidate their national budget. In spite of a comprehensive social overkill, which has repeatedly provoked hefty protests, the Greek budget deficit was at around 9% of its GDP at the beginning of this year, even though a national deficit of 7.4% was the objective for 2011. This has resulted from the drop in state income, which at the beginning of the year was 9.2% less than 1 year earlier. At the same time, the state's expenditures, in spite of all the cuts, rose by 3.3%. The government's sinking income from taxes has actually been caused by the serious recession Greece is now suffering, with 2011 probably being its third year. In May of 2010, the Greek parliament passed a ruthless austerity program aimed at lowering the budget deficit from around 14% in 2010 to 2.6% by 2014. The program contained proposed cuts of some 30 billion euros, or 11% of the annual economic activity. In Greece, this has set an economic vicious circle in motion where the austerity measures have led to a reduction of domestic demand, leading to the perpetuation of the recession. The continued loss in government income in taxes makes, in turn, even more austerity measures necessary. These conditions make a budget consolidation nearly impossible. It is already predictable that due to the continued recession, this year's target of coming down to 7.4% will not be reached. Over the past few months, the recession in Greece has been becoming even more acute. The Greek social economic product has already been shrinking for 9 quarterly periods. During the last quarter, the country registered a drop of 6.6% of its gross domestic product in comparison to the same quarter the preceding year, a negative record in recent economic history. During the first quarter of 2010, the Greek economy dropped only 0.7% in the second quarter. The EU's crisis measures were already getting started. The drop was already at 5.1%, and during the third quarter of 2010, the downward spiral was at 5.7%, always in comparison to the same quarter of 1 year earlier. This serious collapse of the economy has, in interaction with the cuts in government spending. Now, listen, think we're talking about Greece here, but think about what the GOP is proposing for the United States. Listen very carefully. The serious collapse of the economy has, in interaction with the cuts in government spending, led to a serious regression in wage levels. During the third quarter of 2010 alone, real employee salaries in Greece sank by an enormous 11.02% in comparison to the same period the preceding year. The crisis, which is becoming more dynamic, is also leading to a rapid rise in unemployment. Greece's rate of unemployment was already in November of 2009 at a double-digit 10.6%. In November of 2010, the statistical office in Athens recorded unemployment at 13.9% and in December 2010 at 14.8%, an increase of nearly 1% within the course of 1 month. The collapse in the domestic demand brought on by the recession and the austerity measures is also taking on dramatic proportions. Retail sales in Greece dropped in December of 2010 in comparison to the previous year by a breathtaking 19.2%, marking also the most serious slump in the recent economic history of the country. In comparison to March of 2008, the eve of the economic crisis, Greek retail sales have even sunk 27%. This, too, is accompanied by dramatically sinking tax resources, propelling the state even deeper into the crisis. As a matter of fact, the Greek state's composite debt at the end of 2010 was 342.2 billion euros, representing a level of indebtedness at 248.3% of the Greek gross domestic product. At the beginning of the crisis, Greek national debt was only at about 125% of GDP. The threat of a new Greek debt crisis explains the marginal concessions towards Athens, to which German Chancellor Merkel declared her agreement against resistance from members of her own coalition government. With these concessions, Berlin is seeking to prevent the looming, quote, new turbulence, unquote, in the Eurozone because of Athens' implementation of the drastic cutbacks imposed by Germany. In the intermediate term, sales from the public sector within the framework of the announced wave of privatizations are supposed to prohibit a new budgetary emergency in Greece. It will not be the Greek nation, but more than anyone else, the companies, probably also German, that will be the main beneficiaries of this forced privatization. They will be able to purchase what had previously been Greek public property that Greece now is forced to sell. Another further development of this, and we're going to talk more just about Greece, but this concerns Europe as a whole, because indeed there's discussion of the what they call the pigs, kind of a nasty term, but that refers to Portugal, Ireland, Italy, and Spain. And they also are having serious problems and threaten the global economy. And once again, their inclusion in the European Monetary Union, their adoption of the euro, initially something that looked quite good, but something that is now preventing the possibility of basically devaluing their currency and thereby stimulating the economy, that has turned out to be a very bad thing indeed. And I want to note here that not only are the anti-German sentiments that the Greeks have been expressing now being expressed throughout Europe, although you wouldn't know that, basically, to read the American popular media or to even listen to the so-called alternative media. Note my choice of words. Note that criticism of Germany is beginning to resound in European circles. Note also that the economic malaise and the social dislocation that is resulting from the bad economy is spurring reaction. It is spurring xenophobia, ethnic resentment and hatred, and ultimately, I suspect, fascism itself. Again, from the GermanForeignPolicy.com newsletter from May 19th of 2011, Rebellion of the Elites. A Spanish government advisor has sharply criticized German diktat in the euro crisis. In a recent press article, José Ignacio Torreblanca, director of the Madrid office of the European Council on Foreign Relations, has declared that some states, quote, led by Germany, unquote, are using the crisis to impose their economic model on other sovereign EU members. If this continues, the European Union will end up being, in the eyes of many Europeans, what the International Monetary Fund was for many Asian and Latin American countries in the 1980s and 1990s, a tool for the imposition of socially devastating economic measures risking, quote, the end of Europe, unquote. The German Chancellor's demand yesterday that Greece and other southern European countries significantly raise their retirement ages serves as a confirmation of Torreblanca's criticism. The expert in Madrid expressed the suspicion that in light of its booming business, particularly with China, the south of Europe is seen as a hindrance to economic growth that Berlin is no longer against throwing overboard. Torreblanca warns against a new Germany, unquote, whose elites are in the process of losing their previous interest in Europe. Torreblanca's article was published in the weekend edition of El País, Spain's largest daily, and an English translation is also available. Torreblanca is a professor at Madrid's Universidad Nacional de Educación a Distancia. He has headed the Madrid office of the European Council on Foreign Relations since 2007, and, previous to this appointment, was employed at the Spanish capital's renowned Elcano Royal Institute for International Affairs. In his article, he shows a great deal of sympathy for European integration and warns that a policy such as is promoted by Germany would be seriously detrimental to the European Union. Torreblanca recalls that a mere 10 years ago, European integration was still at a perfect upswing. With the euro, a common currency was introduced. With the Lisbon Strategy, Brussels sought within a few years to become the most dynamic economic region in the world. A common foreign policy was initiated. Even in the realm of domestic policy, further steps were initiated toward communitarization, including the incorporation of Eastern and Southeastern European nations, as well as Cyprus and Malta, into the EU. All these activities were supposed to be crowned with an EU constitution, which, even with minor concessions but essentially identical to the Lisbon Treaty, could finally be passed. At that time, talk of Europe did, quote, not provoke weariness or indifference, but rather admiration and even in Washington, Beijing, and Moscow, unconcealed jealousy, unquote. Torreblanca considers that the previous euphoric mood has turned completely sour. In numerous European countries, recently, for example, in Sweden and Finland, xenophobic forces have gained ground in elections. Some have crossed the line from xenophobia to a blatantly racist discourse. Torreblanca uses the example of Tilo Sarrazin. In the discourse introduced by Sarrazin, one speaks of the inferior intelligence of Muslims, unquote, dangerously evoking memories of how the Nazis spoke of Jews, blacks, and Slavs as, untermenschen, inferior human beings. The values of tolerance and openness are in doubt or even in retreat. The European response in the face of the expulsion of Romanian gypsies from France was just as weak as that to the excesses regarding freedom of the press in the Hungarian constitution or the harassment of irregular immigrants in Italy, unquote. One can, quote, expect little, unquote, from the EU in the form of humanism. Torreblanca sharply criticizes Berlin in particular. Some states, led by Germany, are using the euro crisis to impose their economic model on other sovereign EU members. Note this. We're going to repeat this last sentence again. Torreblanca sharply criticizes Berlin in particular. Some states, quote, led by Germany, unquote, are using the euro crisis to impose their economic model on other sovereign EU members. Those countries hardest hit are due to be forced to comply with stringent austerity measures. These solutions, unquote, are presented hand-in-hand with moralizing and condescending preaching, as if the deficit or surplus of a country reflected the, quote, moral superiority or inferiority of a whole group of human beings, unquote. This version of the crisis must be contested, writes Torreblanca. It risks the end of Europe, unquote. It threatens not only to strangle the national economies in question, but also damage the concerned population's perception, because if the European Union only imposes austerity programs, it will end up being in the eyes of many Europeans what the International Monetary Fund was for many Asian and Latin American countries in the 1980s and 90s, a tool for the imposition of socially devastating economic measures that lack any democratic legitimacy. It could be that this method, quote, works, unquote, but the EU will suffer from a severe democratic and identity deficit, warns Torreblanca. As if to provide confirmation of this warning, the German chancellor announced Wednesday that the countries of Southern Europe must immediately raise their retirement ages. It is not only a question, declared Merkel, that people in countries such as Greece, Spain, and Portugal should not go on retirement earlier than in Germany, but also that everyone must make the same effort, unquote. Berlin has decided to raise the retirement age in Germany from 65 to 67. The countries in Southern Europe, according to Berlin, must follow suit. Hefty protests are being raised over this most recent German meddling. That is pure colonialism, the president of the Portuguese CGTP Trade Union Confederation is quoted as having said. At the same time, the Greek government is giving in to German pressure and has commissioned the Deutsche Bank to, quote, advise it, unquote, in the privatization of Greek state property. Greece has been forced primarily under German pressure to privatize 50 billion euros worth of state property by 2015. Torreblanca expressed the suspicion that the new Germany, unquote, is losing interest in Europe not least of all because of its booming business relations with Asia, particularly with China. This is relativizing the role of the EU. Exports to China are on the verge of surpassing exports to France, and in Germany is supporting the image of Southern Europe as being a hindrance to growth, unquote. Whereas one usually is confronted with Euroskeptical tendencies among the population. In the case of Germany, there is also what could be called a rebellion of the elites, unquote, where the EU no longer plays its previous role in their plans. Can Europe break apart? Asks Torreblanca and answers, yes, of course it can, unquote. The Spanish government advisor leaves no doubt about his holding Berlin in particular responsible for whether a breakup occurs or not. Germany, which had pursued European integration as long as it had served as an instrument for attaining global player status, will decide whether this instrument is still useful or if it can be easily discarded. And again, the European Monetary Union has been very, very helpful to Germany, a country whose economy is based on exports. And with the euro having become a weak currency, that greatly aided German exports. And we're going to be talking more about Greece in particular, but I want to note that this applies, the situation that we've been describing applies also to Portugal, Italy, Ireland, and Spain. And it remains to be seen if, in fact, the European Monetary Union dissolves, if Greece defaults, if those other countries default, even if the U.S. manages to get its act together. And I don't see that happening with the Republicans behaving the way they're behaving and with Obama, frankly, kissing them on their Nazi derrieres at every turn, as he seems to be doing. I don't see a lot of hope in that regard. But again, we're talking about Greece. Note that the same arguments that the Germans are talking about with regard to Greece also apply in many ways to the United States. There are, of course, some differences, and in particular, the fact that Greece became part of the European Monetary Union, that actually had a very destructive effect on the overall Greek economy. And we're going to talk more about that in the next article. But again, although we're talking about Greece, we're talking about Europe, these are lessons that apply to the United States. To make a very long story very short, the only way that capitalism can work is if money circulates, is if capital is allocated in such a way as to generate more capital. And basically what we're looking at in this country is, they're really the effects of an enormous concentration of wealth. And basically the proposals that are being made by Germany and by the GOP right in this country are to slash, slash, slash. Well, when you start cutting budgets, what are the budgets of cities, states, or even private companies, let alone the U.S., you're talking about doing two things. You're talking about cutting jobs. You're talking about firing people, which does two things. First of all, it greatly reduces their disposable income, which places additional strain on the consumer economy. In addition, these people require, the unemployed require greater federal assistance, thereby applying greater strain to the deficit. On top of that, they cease to be significant taxpayers until they gain new work, and that also places significant strain on the budget. The other thing we're talking about when we're talking about slashing budgets is basically canceling purchases. That wipes black ink off of the order books of the various vendors and places additional strain on those. Well, how do institutions respond to these things? Well, they cut more jobs or cancel more purchases, thereby accelerating the process. This is what economists fear more than inflation. It's the deflationary spiral, and we may be going down that one ourselves. We'll talk more about this in Side 2. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 746, Greek Tragedy. This is being recorded on June 19th of the year 2011. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.